excited on this episode of Get Real Podcast. I have Olivia Caridi with me. She was on Ben Higgins' season of The Bachelor. She got fifth place. He left her standing in a torrential rain. It was very dramatic. But we talk all about her season, what she learned from being on The Bachelor. It's very insightful. She's also a world traveler. She travels everywhere with her running buddy, Brandi Cyrus. They're like Paris and Nicole. They jokingly call themselves that. I mean, she goes to Iceland. She goes to Germany. She just got back from, where did she just get back from? Everywhere. I can't even, if you look at her Instagram, it's just picture after picture after picture of her world traveling. We talk all about what she's learned from her travels, what she's realized that we all have in common as human beings. Very, very awesome. She's so wise. Wise beyond her years. And we just talk about life and boys. Of course, we talk about boys. Duh. So get excited. Here is Olivia. Okay, I'm here with the amazing Olivia Caridi. Freak out. I had it the first time.
Are you serious?
Caridi. Oh, God. I was practicing in my head. I got stage fright.
Don't. Or you can just say Olivia C.
Caridi.
Whatever you want. It's your podcast. You do what you want.
I'm here with Olivia Caridi.
That was so beautifully done.
Thank you. You have one of those names, though, that people can mess up. Is that so annoying to you?
You know, no, it's whatever. Like, it's fine. It's only Italians. Italians know how to say it every time. Non-Italians, no idea.
Have you been to Italy a lot to see your family?
We went to, ironically, no. We've been to Florence and Rome. And that's it. I have so many places in my home country to go to.
And you're a world traveler because look at your Instagram and you're like in Germany, you're in Iceland, where have you been in the past couple of years? And how often do you travel?
I try as much as I can. My goal for every year is to add like 4 to 5 stamps to my passport. And that's how I look at it, whether it's, you know, Canada or going all the way across the world. But I try to go somewhere big every like 2 months, 2.5 months. But
and how long will you go for?
I mean, like I went to Copenhagen for literally 2 nights a couple weeks ago. So obviously that's not my chosen, just because of jet lag and things like that. But I mean, ideally 9 days, but I also basically work full time. So it's like whatever I can get my hands on, I'll take it. So
how do you decide where you want to go? And I feel like you and Brandi Cyrus always travel together and y'all are y'all call yourself Paris and Nicole. Cause y'all are that. Y'all are amazing.
People think that we are like annoying when we say that. That was just something dumb that we came up with because I'm very tall like Paris and she's shorter like Nicole and we just kind of did life together. So we thought it was cheeky. We're not taking ourselves seriously. But nowadays she's traveling so much, whether it's with Miley or, you know, her boyfriend lives in South Africa.
Did you meet him with her?
I'm meeting him next week. He's in the U.S. meeting the whole Cyrus family, which I'm sure is quite a feat.
But he also has
to meet me.
Well, obviously.
He was her safari guide.
Oh, my God. When she was in Africa?
She was in Africa. Miley was filming Black Mirror in Cape Town. This was basically, I feel like, a year ago at this point. And at one time, Leslie Murphy, who is also on The Bachelor, met up with them and they did 1 day of a safari. I can't even remember where, but she called me the next day and she was like, "This is insane, but I think I'm in love with our safari guide." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And I remember she flew home and they were on WhatsApp together sending these like novels of text messages. And I finally just said, "I think you guys need to FaceTime. Like, I think you need to graduate to FaceTime." And we were in Colorado and I went skiing and she set up the apartment for this like FaceTime date and like lit all these candles. And it was so ridiculous, but they are still together now. It's
insane.
And
meeting the whole fam. So, I mean, that's a big deal to meet the whole fam coming in from South Africa too.
I know. He flew into the U.S. I don't think it's his first time here, but it's like he's here for a couple weeks, obviously. If you're going to fly that far, you got to stay for a while. He met Miley and, oh, and Billy Ray.
Probably right away because they were doing the filming.
Yes. And Brandy said that Miley was great, that Billy Ray, who's sometimes like, he's very quiet. And
Billy Ray's quiet?
Yes.
No.
He's very shy.
I would never have yes. guessed that.
Yeah, so we were all kind of like, I wonder how Billy Ray is going to do. But apparently he did awesome. And then they're going to LA to meet Tish and Noah. And I don't know if she's met Brazen. There's so many of them.
There's so many stars. I mean, that's no joke when you're meeting the whole family. And I guess they'll just figure out how to... Well, when you're Globetrotter, it doesn't really matter where you live, I guess. Like yourself. You're a Globetrotter.
It really doesn't. We always say that, like, me and her are going to go in and buy a house together in South Africa, because ironically, South Africa is one of my favorite places I've ever been to. So I would be down to go in together, buy a house out there. We can do a couple months out in South Africa, a couple months here. But her boyfriend's dream is to be a park ranger in Yellowstone National Park. So, yeah, so that's like her plan.
Okay.
He has said he would move to the U.S. So,
okay, great.
You know, she is a DJ, so she kind of needs to be here. But
and then just hop over to South Africa when you feel like it. Do you feel threatened that he's going to take your travel partner position?
No. The one thing that's hard for me is just not hard in a very joking way. Is that Brandy and I were always like, we were literally about to make another podcast called Zaddy Issues to talk about all our issues with men. And then all of a sudden, she falls in love.
She ruined it.
And I'm like, okay, wait, what? This was not how it was supposed to go.
Zaddy Issues. Oh my God. Zaddy Issues. Because we were talking, you and I we're OG podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how long have you been podcasting?
Oh gosh, I started like around my birthday. So in March of 2017, I think. So it's been like a good 2 years.
Yeah, I've been doing it about, I think, 3 years. And we were in the beginning. And now look at everybody just following our footsteps, Olivia.
You get a podcast. You get a podcast.
You get a podcast.
Honestly, it's fine. I like the competition. I don't even look at anyone as competition. I support all. It's just funny because I, besides having my own podcast, all I do is listen to podcasts all day, every day. I don't even listen to music anymore.
And your podcast is called Mouthing Off with Olivia.
It's called Mouthing Off.
Caridi.
Nice. Good work.
Mouthing Off with Olivia Caridi. And you have set, we got to get into all your life, but you were on The Bachelor, Ben Higgins season.
Mm-hmm. Good times.
And he left
good
you times. Standing in the rain.
Left on an island by myself.
Were you in the rain?
It was basically a hurricane outside. It was the worst day ever. I think all three of us, because I was dumped on the 2-on-1 date. So I think that me, Ben, and the twin, Emily, would all agree that it was like the worst date ever.
Oh.
It was terrible.
Oh my gosh. And now since become a big, big Bachelor fan. I'm late to the party. I didn't start till later. I have to tell you,
that's okay.
I'm actually a Bachelor in Paradise fan. Why have you not done Bachelor in Paradise?
Once I got asked to twice, of course, right after my season, but I was like so, you know, just damaged and traumatized. And I was like, I cannot go right now. And then I tried again like 2 seasons later. But at that point, I just was like, yeah, I don't. But you're right. I freaking love Paradise. Ugh. I love watching the show now. I think it's great. Pure entertainment. It just was never my. Plus, like, I can't be in a swimsuit on TV. Like,
yes, you can. You have a banging body.
Mm-mm.
Yes. No. I have seen you in swimsuits on Instagram, and it looks good.
Facetune. Just kidding.
I know, right? Everything goes through a filter. But seriously.
Just a little right and tight.
Can you consider going to Bachelor in Paradise?
I did. I mean, after the show.
What's that? Reconsider going now.
Oh. They wouldn't bring me on.
They bring people back from all sorts of seasons. Like Deanie Babies, he's back.
But Deanie Babies is like big time Bachelor human. I am like way removed from all of it. No, so if I came on, people would be like, wait, who's this girl? Like, it just wouldn't make sense.
No, there are some people who haven't been on The Bachelor in years who I don't feel like are like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or whatever. And there's, I think you would be great. I think you should consider it.
I mean, I agree with you. I
would be great.
One of my favorite things about, you know, Paradise is that, like Chris Bukowski, for example, the guy who they're all making the old guy jokes on, which he's 32. Like, he's the same age as half the people on there, but that's besides the point. But I love watching people from the past. Like, yeah, it's fun to watch the current people, but I just love being like, oh my God, that guy's still around or that girl's still around. So I wish they would do that more often or put an old school person in the lead position, like on Bachelor or Bachelorette. I think it's so fun. So I don't know.
Could not agree with you more. It is my guilty pleasure.
Oh, sorry.
What's your dog's name?
Well, Corey's the one that's barking.
Corey.
Okay, we're back. He's outside now.
Okay, so just tell me about what's been going on. Tell me about who was Olivia before she became this worldwide sensation through The Bachelor.
Oh, man.
And tell me how you got on The Bachelor and all that.
I really liked my life before The Bachelor. It wasn't a situation of like, I was heartbroken and I needed to go on. Not the case for me. Who was I before? I grew up in Austin, Texas, and I went to college at TCU, the Horned
Frogs.
Texas
girl. You know, I'm a Texas girl, too.
I'm a Texas girl through and through forever, back home now, finally. But I went to college and I studied broadcast journalism there. And I remember I started as a political science major and like brutally failed the first test. And I was like, probably shouldn't do this as a career. It was like intro to government. So I was like, oh, what do I like to do? I like to read and write. So I thought, oh, what can I do? I'm going to try journalism. And I ended up freaking loving my major, made the greatest friends through it. And right out of college, I got a job as a reporter for a TV station.
Heck yeah.
And I was based in a little town called Bristol, Virginia. And it was, I don't remember what the population is, but very small, but the greatest people ever. And I was a reporter and a news anchor there. I made it to news anchor pretty quickly, which was really exciting. So,
dang, girl. So you shot up fast.
Okay. I did. And some people didn't like me because of it, but that's okay. Healthy
competition. You can't help it if you got skills.
I had skill. And I was looking at this life of like every 3 years having to move to a new station and go to a bigger market and all that. And I, every day was the news and talking to sources. And I was like living, eating, breathing news. And I had always watched The Bachelor. Always, since probably too young, like middle school, when I shouldn't have been watching. But my mom and my mom kept messaging me being like, hey, they are casting for The Bachelor very near where you are.
Stop
like,
it. Your
you
mom
go?
Was all about this?
She was all, I mean, I was single. I was having trouble dating. I pictured a life where it might be difficult to meet someone because I'm constantly thinking about news and stuff. But no, I never wanted to go on The Bachelor, ever.
I love that your mom was all about it.
She's a bit of a ball buster. You cannot say no to that woman. I kept saying no, no, I'm not going here. I don't want to go. She was like sending me every week where they're casting for the week. And her and my sister made a video and overnighted it to ABC Castings. And the next day I was anchoring and I was getting all these phone calls. I was like, God, I'm anchoring. No one calls me at this time. It turns out it was a casting person from ABC and they flew me out to LA like 2 days later. And it was a whirlwind. We started filming like a week later. Like I was way late in the process.
So you just got whisked right in. You really didn't have to go through any of the process.
I didn't do any of the casting that anyone else does. So I don't know what it's like to go. Yeah, I mean, they really kind of wined and dined me. They made me feel like it was going to be the greatest experience ever. And we found our winner. And I remember they flew me to LA and brought me to like all the biggest restaurants there. Like, I remember going to the Ivy, which is where all the celebrities go, and they're like, eat whatever you want. And I was just like, wow, this is so exciting. And yeah. And so I had no time to even think about it. Like, literally, I had to leave my job, which was difficult because I was under contract and it was like this whole thing. And
so you had to quit your job?
I had to quit. I mean, I could have, at first my company was offering for me to just have like a temporary leave, but I was like, what if I like win this thing? And then I have to, I have to do this tour. And it's like, it was too crazy of an entire thing. And then it was weird because my last day anchoring, I never announced like, okay, everyone, you're never going to see me again because I'm going on The Bachelor. I literally said, see you next weekend. And then I still get messages 3 years later from my viewers being like, hey, where you been?
So you ghosted everybody.
I really was a ghost. I ghosted my entire little network of Virginia and Tennessee people. But yeah, I had no time to think about it. It was like, here we go. Let's do this thing.
So were they pegging you as the front runner?
I mean, they never said like, you're going to win this, but they definitely say like, oh, you're perfect for Ben and you're going to be great. And I definitely see you like Final Four, all this stuff. Like they make you feel like you're everything. And so, I might have gotten a little bit naive, carried away, thinking that like, oh, this is it for me kind of thing. So.
But it's not like they do that for everybody. So I can see why you would, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what they do. I never really talked to anyone else about their experience. I mean, that's why anytime I record with someone from Bachelor, I love to know how they got cast because I'm so curious, you know, how everyone else's experiences were. But they swept me off my feet for sure. And I don't know if they do that for other people. I can't imagine they fly everyone out personally and meet them. And I felt very lucky at the time for sure.
Okay. So then you get to The Bachelor, you're on the show and it's happening. Mm-hmm. You show up in the limousine. Did you do a special stunt or anything? And then what if you don't like the dude? Like, what if you show up and you're like, oh my God, I can't stand the way your mouth looks.
Then you have to stay for like the experience, I guess, right?
And do you think just because of like a like small pond theory, you're gonna like him anyway because it gets so competitive?
I mean, I will say like you do feel like you're in this bubble where you think this person is the greatest person ever because you're thinking, eating, breathing, talking about this person nonstop for hours every single day. And so,
and everyone else is obsessed with this person too. Oh, so you're kind of like
everyone's yeah. And then you've got, you know, production, how great is he, and he really likes you, and all this stuff. And when you're laser focused on this one person, you do start to just think that this is it. And then I remember going home, like getting dumped, and I got home and I was like, oh my God, I don't even know that person. Like,
right.
It's really such a such a social experiment in so many ways. It's crazy.
So how far did you make it?
I was number 5.
Okay.
I was
so number 5. Right before hometowns.
I did not get a hometown. Yeah.
And talk to me about your experience. How would you describe your experience?
Well, not so good. No, look, it's something that, based on castings, thousands of women want to do. And I could not believe in the moment that I was picked to be one of those people. But it didn't go well for me. I obviously was the villain. For anyone who doesn't know, I didn't look very good on the show.
But how did they paint you as the villain? Because you're the sweetest person ever.
I gave them what they need. I agreed to every single thing I was encouraged to do. I did.
Was it just because you were kind of losing your mind already being in this fishbowl? And then what would they tell you to do?
Well, it was like, I didn't know I was, it's not like we had a conversation at the beginning. Like, are you going to be the villain? Like, nothing like that. But I remember they would say things like, hey, Ben wants you to grab him first at the cocktail party. Like, he asked us to ask you to grab him first. And at the time I was like, oh yeah, totally, sure. So he would come in and I'd say, hey Ben, can we talk? And I would go whisk him away. And in hindsight, he never asked for that, but that was something that would make the girls angry, and then they would get mad at me, and that would continue on kind of the storyline. So I'm not saying that I'm, you know, perfect in any means. I gave them everything they had, but in the moment I thought, anything for this guy. If that's what he wants, I'm going to do it, you know? So I did feel really uncomfortable. Everyone had kind of paired off. Everyone had a best friend in the house and I didn't. And I kind of just went inside myself. I overthought every single thing. I basically just self-destructed. It was all my fault, but yeah, it was a very interesting experience. Not the most fun I've ever had, that's for sure. But, you know, what can you do?
Well, I just can't imagine how you can't self-destruct a little bit, because it's just, the environment is not conducive to a healthy dating or mental relationship.
No, it's I always say it's so weird that, like, you see him making out with other people or like holding hands with other people and you're just like, oh, okay, that's just how it is.
It's just so normal.
Yeah, I think the thing that really didn't work well for me was just the time. Like, you get no time. Mm-hmm. It's just, and even when you have time, you're constantly thinking of like, okay, I have this 2 minutes. Like, what can I talk about in this 2 minutes? Like, you don't go into conversations with people with like a plan of what you're going to say.
Right.
But because you have to maximize every inch of time that you have, it just becomes very like inauthentic and kind of rushed and weird, and you're like trying to put your best foot forward, and it's just, I don't know. Would I ever like recommend meeting the man of your dreams from this show? Probably not. But hey, it's happened before.
It has happened.
So, yeah.
So what's your takeaway from The Bachelor? Like, what was your high and what was your low from being on it? What are you glad that you experienced and went on and learned? And then what do you wish you wouldn't have learned?
Well, I think my high in general is just how this show has changed the way I treat people, the way I treat myself. I've become much more empathetic from it. And just in general, I've learned to take like my mental health seriously. My brain struggled a little bit after the show, and it was the first time in my life I've said, okay, I need help. And so I, you know, got a therapist and things like that. And
that's awesome.
And then obviously, yeah. And then the platform that I got from it, I can use to help other people who, you know, have gone through hard things or go through mental health issues. Like, so the platform is something I'm really grateful for. Mine is definitely smaller than most people's, but the people that do follow me, like I answer their questions, I chat them and things like that. So that
you have a big platform. You have like 200 and something thousand, yeah, 100,000 followers.
It's like more, it's just funny that like nowadays in Bachelor World, if you don't leave with like a million followers, that's considered like, you know, weird, you know. I have my small micro audience, if you will.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, those are good things. And obviously anything that makes me a better person to myself and to other people is something that I'm grateful for. And then obviously I think the low is just that for the rest of my life, people will hear my name and associate me with something that they watched of me on TV. That's pretty hard for me, but it's gotten better. It's what, year like 3 now. So people kind of move on. But yeah, there's a lot of people, if you say, oh, you know that Olivia from The Bachelor, and forever, for the rest of my life, it's gonna be like, oh yeah, that crazy person. And it's just like, ugh, come on, people. Let
how
me
do
live.
You, how do you deal with that? Just people's opinions of you based on a TV show?
I'm still learning, honestly. I still let people's opinions of me affect me more than I would like them to. I'm not going to say, oh, it rolls right off my shoulders. Like, no, it bothers me.
What
but,
happens when you, when it affects you? Like, what do you do?
My tendency is to like hold myself in a little bit more, like to shy away, to not show myself, because I'm like, if I don't give them anything to judge, then I'm good. So, you know, sometimes like I'll go dark on social media and people are like, are you okay? And I'm like, yo, yeah, someone just said something mean. And so I'm like, not, you know, like, I feel like, why am I shying? Why am I putting myself away or hiding myself just because of what people think about me. And that's something that I'm working on. Like, I'm not perfect at all. I'm in therapy, like, girls figuring things out. Oof.
Good for you.
Brutal. Yeah. And I also, I think something that I need to work through is like getting defensive, you know, or like retaliating. I do have
want
the tendency,
to?
Like,
do you like, yeah, to retaliate?
Like, yeah. Like I went to a big bachelor wedding, last week or the week before. And I knew a lot of people were going to be like, why the heck is she invited? And why is she there? And things like that. And all day long, I was getting messages from people being like, you know, who is she and why does she deserve to be there and all this stuff, which makes you feel crappy.
So like, not the people at the wedding, but you're talking about people just observing the wedding on social.
People that were seeing me there because everyone was posting, you know, we're in Rhode Island, and it makes you feel like, why am I not cool enough? Am I not worthy? And
well, how lame
I'm scrolling through
that it's a wedding. Like, you can be at a wedding because you're friends with the people.
Why do you care who's?
But because of the Bachelor Nation or whatever, everyone
and
weighs
because
in.
Yeah, and because like, you know, I don't live in LA, so I don't see a lot of these people. I'm not photographed in photos and all that stuff. But it doesn't mean we're not friends in real life. So yeah, that got to me. And then I was like, I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw this whole thread about me and how I was invited, and I just retaliated and I regretted it immediately. But it's like all day long I had been reading, and it just like, it hurts you. And I need to get past that. That's like something that I need to work on. So,
well, I think it's totally legit to get your feelings hurt by people just like shoveling negative comments about someone they don't even know. Yeah. But that's the thing with making yourself in the public eye. Everyone feels entitled to have an opinion about you, and they feel entitled to say whatever they want to.
Everything. And they do.
I mean, but can you imagine if you turn the reverse on the person who's like firing off the insults? Like if we just fired off insults at regular, like people who aren't making themselves exposed, like it's so hurtful, but they don't view you as a real person.
Yeah, I'm this like other entity in the sky that it's like, oh, she, you know, and so many people say, oh, she put herself on TV, so like she opened herself to criticism. And I'm like, yeah, you could criticize me 3 years ago when I was on the show and I was doing dumb stuff, but it's been a long time. Like, I have grown as a person. I'm not the same person I was back then. So like, you cannot continue to judge my choices or what I do or who I am based on something that you saw a long time ago. Like, we all evolve every day. So it just seems like a waste of time to like hold people to this one place in their lives where they didn't look great or they made bad choices. Like, if I did that, I would not like anyone. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so silly. It's, I don't know. Yeah, just venting.
I'm with you. But I do think having empathy is one of the greatest assets that a human can get, because if you don't know how it feels to be in those shoes where you get the, like, you know how it feels to be insecure, or you know how it feels to be come at, or you know how it feels to, I mean, just all those feelings, it really makes, I think, for a much more thoughtful, caring person in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really,
gosh, I love people now. Like,
and like you have so much more grace for people.
I have so much grace for people. Like, I'm so forgiving now. And I really do try to see, I try to give everyone a chance. Granted, they don't always meet it, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I know what it's like to be judged off of like something very small. And so I really do give everyone the benefit of the doubt, you know, and that's why a lot on my podcast, I like to bring on villains from various shows, because I want to give, I can't control if they don't like fix the image or give them a better impression, then that's on them. But I at least tried. So
I love that. Saving the world one villain at a time, Olivia.
I'm just like, there's this one girl from this show, Southern Charm. I don't know if you watch it. Her name's Ashley Jacobs. She was like, she looked really bad on her show, like really bad. And I brought her on, which a lot of people were like, how dare you? And I said, I just want to give her a chance to speak. And I tried. I didn't interrupt her. I gave her a chance to speak. A lot of people were like, didn't really help. It didn't really help. And I'm like, okay, great. But we tried. We tried. Like, as long as you give them a chance. That's what I want for people.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, well.
How has life been post-bachelor? Because when we were talking, you were ready to date. And I know you were crushing on a cutie who now you're friends with and his girlfriend. And you've been on, like, podcasts with them and all sorts of stuff. How has that been?
So can we talk about that?
Let's talk about it.
So Caroline was on my podcast and she was like, oh, I watched this. Which season was he on? He was on
Becca's.
Becca season. So Caroline was watching Becca season and she's like, this guy, Jason Tartick, is so cute.
Oh, he was my favorite. I was like, he's so normal. He's so cute.
The time I had never met him. Yeah. We were just chatting and I was like, yeah, he is really cute. He's really attractive. The podcast got to Jason.
Yeah. He heard the whole thing.
Heard the whole thing.
And you had seen him a little bit in your Sky Lounge in Delta.
Right. So he used to live in Seattle and I used to live in Seattle.
Did you live in Austin now, right?
I live in Austin now. Yeah. I moved back home. I got a great job offer. Couldn't say no.
And Austin's the best.
And it's just, I'm back home with my doggies. It's great. Yeah. But yeah, so I had seen him a few times because he flies Delta all the time and I work for Delta. And so I had seen him. I was like, yeah, he's attractive. He's cute. But I would never approach him because that's weird and whatever. He found the podcast. He heard it and he's like, la, 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 la. So anyway, then Caitlin Bristow, he's now been with Caitlin for a long time. They're a beautiful couple. It's not weird. People are all like, isn't it so weird that like you liked Jason and now Caitlin's with him? I never liked Jason. Like, I thought he was attractive. I said it on a podcast. It's not like I ever wanted. Yeah. Like we're good friends now. I saw him at the wedding. They were great. But yeah, we never even talked. It was like not a big deal.
Well, and it was just funny. Everyone in The Bachelor is so kind of used to like sharing people dating.
Yeah. I mean, we're all just like one big pot of people that you can just, oh, I'll take him. I'll take him.
Yeah.
She had him. It's okay.
Cause I went on Caitlin's podcast and she came on mine and she said she's dated like 5 people off The Bachelor and she's friends with was in love with some of them. And she's,
well, I mean, she dated 30 guys on her season, which, you know, it was so funny because at Jared and Ashley's wedding, there were like 5 of her. I mean, Jared is her ex.
Who got married.
Yes. So she, and then, you know, Jason is sitting across from her boyfriend. And then next to him is a guy from her season. And then across from him is a guy from her season. So it's just so funny.
Well, and that's what she was saying. She's like, you just realize that it's lust and you just can't worry about it. And everyone, seems like everyone in the Bachelor world is pretty good at just like, okay, it didn't work out. We were in this fishbowl situation and it's like, it's such a, of course you're going to try to date all these people, but if it doesn't work out, you just got to move on.
I just think people don't understand, like even as someone who was the final 5 or whatever, granted I never had a one-on-one date, but you know, I was still only with Ben one-on-one for maybe like an hour and 45 minutes total. So like, try to put it in that perspective of like, she was maybe with some of these guys for like 15 minutes. Like, it's okay. We're going to be all right. We can be in the same room kind of thing. Like, I don't consider Ben an ex at all. So like, he was at the wedding and it was like, great, whatever. He's with his girlfriend. It's fine. So
yes.
It's just funny.
Did you and Jason and Kristen, Caitlin, talk about anything when you went on the podcast?
No. Well, the irony of it all was that I felt like the third wheel. Basically, Caitlin had invited Jason on her podcast. She was in Seattle for something. And she just kind of messaged me, hey, like, can you also come on? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm in town. Totally. So the 3 of us, you know, went and I barely could get a word in. I was like, why am I here again?
But they like falling in love on the podcast.
Oh my God. it was like so much chemistry in the room and I could just tell like, oh yeah, they definitely like each other. And a little bit after that, I saw Jason in the Sky Club and he's like, hey, like I kind of had feelings for Caitlin. Like, did she say anything? And I was like, I mean, yeah, she said you were really cute, but you know, at the time she was still with Sean. even though they were kind of going through a hard time and close to a breakup. And then, yeah, so I texted her and I was like, hey, are you into Jason? And then Jason, and then they created their little thing. And I was like, oh, I'm so happy to witness the beginnings of a beautiful romance. And now they freaking live together and have a dog. And it's great.
I know. I went to record at Caitlin's house and Jason was there. And I was like, you know, it's funny because you would think I'm around celebrities all the time in country music and it's no big deal. But because this bachelor world, you get so invested in these people, their relationships. When I saw Jason walk in, I was like, oh my God, I know. I really know you. I really followed your story. And I'm kind of excited that I'm meeting you. And that's so weird because you mean, you would think I would get stoked to meet Reba McEntire or Tanya Tucker. But
I feel the same way. And I was on The Bachelor. I remember the first time I saw Dean and Nick Vile at this wedding. I literally was like,
you're like, I've invested so much time in your life.
I see you all. I felt like a little peasant or something. I was like, oh my God, I need to bow down to you people. Like, geez, yes. Louise. It's so funny.
It is so funny. Well, I think it's just because The Bachelor is such an intimate, personal show that you guys are opening up so much and we're so invested in your love life and your life.
People are so invested.
You learn so much about these people that I'm like, oh my God. And then you like obviously pick your favorites. You get all like
it's a
great show. It's a crazy show. I mean, I'm so glad
I don't blame anyone. Yeah, I'm alive. We're okay. We're good. I've like actively kind of removed myself from it all, but I still love watching. I obviously still interview people from the show because I do just love talking to these people, but I have no desire to go back on. My time on TV is over. It's all good. I think it's a great show. I think it's super entertaining. I do wish that people didn't get so invested that like they need to, but hey, if you find something you like, go for it. That's all good. Yeah.
So what is life for you like now?
I'm back home. I work full time.
Where are you working?
I work for Delta. Technically part-time, but nowadays it feels full-time. Summer is crazy for the airlines, so we're constantly, you know, running around. And then thinking for putting in for flight attendant, so I'll be in the skies, hopefully, doing what I love, which is traveling and being a Delta person. I love it so much.
You love it so much, don't you?
I do. I love flying. I love people, so like my job is so great that I get to make people's day and meet new people every single day. And yeah, sometimes people yell at me, but it's no big deal. And then I love traveling, so it's like the best of both worlds because it's a job that gives me great benefits. And then you know, I like will fight for Delta always and forever. So
go you.
So yeah, so I do that, and then I have my podcast, which you know it is hard work to get new guests every week and record, you know, it's
so do you keep it going every week?
I do every Tuesday. I've taken, I think like 3 weeks off for holidays. So every week I'm pushing new guests and, you know, new content, doing research, promoting. It's a lot of work. So
it is a lot of work. Have you had any repeat guests?
I try not to. I mean, Brandy comes on sometimes often. Yeah. Anytime we travel, we like to do like a dorky little travel podcast. So she's been a repeat. I don't think, Reality Steve has been a repeat. I love talking to him. But everyone else, I try to make it new every week. And luckily reality TV is just an evolving door of people. So, but yeah, you know, it's difficult. It can get exhausting, and some weeks you're just like, oh,
I know.
I have a minute. You know.
I know. How far in advance do you find your guest?
I used to do it weekly, which stressed me out beyond belief. So now what I try to do is like have 4 in the can at the beginning of every month. And sometimes 4 things happen.
4 is the number that makes me feel comfortable because I'm like, okay, I have a month's worth, and then just try to keep 4 always.
Yeah, I call it in the can. I would like 2 at least in the can always, Because, you know, weekly sometimes you'll have it good to go and then things happen. Your guest will say, oh, I can't do it. Can I do it tomorrow? And then you're busy tomorrow and you're just like, ah. So, yes. So yeah, I like to be ahead. Now, it doesn't always work out that way, but I really do try. And of course, with my traveling, you know, sometimes I'm like, I won't have service where I am. So I need it to be done and ready to go. You know, all these things.
Where are some of your favorite places that you've traveled? And what have you learned by traveling all over the world?
Oh my. I mean, I freaking loved Iceland. If you haven't been to Iceland, you have to go. It's incredible. It's the most like diverse landscape I've ever seen in my life. And oh, it's just great. We went in September. We saw the Northern Lights. It was sick.
Didn't you stay in like some sort of like igloo cabin or something?
We stayed in, it's called the Bubble. They have one in Iceland. I think they have one in Norway, Japan. They're basically, yeah, they look like little igloo bubbles. They're clear so you can see. It's wide open. It's all it is a bed and a little lamp. And then they have restrooms, like an outhouse outside, but it's like perfect for seeing the Northern Lights. Like we were going to bed one night and then all of a sudden the sky just lit up. It was so cool. Oh, yeah.
Was that amazing?
Yeah. It was a highlight of the trip. Brandy had it. She got it set up and I was like, oh, thank you, Brandy. It was great. It was just so cool. And the bed was super comfortable and you're just falling asleep under the stars and oh, it was so cool. I highly recommend if you're going anywhere, look to see if there's a bubble where you are because
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Where else have you loved?
Oh, I love Denmark. Denmark every year wins happiest country.
Why is it the happiest country?
It's just, I think it's because people, they don't even like drive there. They ride their bikes everywhere. And so everyone's really fit and they're exercising, which is good for your mind. And everyone's just really kind. Like they're all happy. I don't know. Denmark is cool. Like Copenhagen is rad. And I'm going to go back ASAP because two nights was not enough. And then I love New Zealand.
Yes. So beautiful.
New Zealand is sick. And I'm a big fan of the whole like renting a van and sleeping in the van and just driving around. So like Iceland and New Zealand are really good for that. So
how do you book your trips? Like how do you get all these cool things lined up?
Some like I have a connection at a traveling agency and they do a lot of influencer trips, which I know sounds influencer, but hey, like I'll take any opportunity to travel and show off the world. So like I went to Morocco with a company that paid for the airfare, paid for all the hotels, which is incredible. And then like I just hiked 100 miles through Patagonia and that I paid for a travel service. Like sometimes you just have to do it on your own. But yeah, like I try to reach out to as many travel companies as possible to see if they want anyone to you know, go and take photos and things like that. But honestly, sometimes like influencer trips end up stressing me out because there's so much pressure to like deliver content and this and that. And I just
you have to deliver pictures.
Yeah. Or like, you know, you're driving for this one shot and sometimes you get in the mode of like, okay, we got to get the shot and then we go. And it's not as much about like taking it in.
Right, right, right.
And so, yeah, I mean, it obviously helps that I work for Delta because I do save a lot of money on airfare. So that's huge for me. And I try to travel as cheaply as possible. So like I'll choose hostels, which are a lot cheaper, renting vans, sleeping in vans. I like to stop at grocery stores right away and eat peanut butter and jelly and save money on, you know, beers and things like that. So yeah, there's ways you can work around spending a ton of money, but I've learned more about myself traveling than anything.
Tell me what you've learned about yourself traveling.
Well, just that I'm self-sufficient, that I can like, I'm independent. I can get stuff done. I don't ever, I'm going to have my weak moments, but like I'm a boss.
Yes,
you
are. I can
do this. Yeah. Like I can't, there have been more stressful moments than good moments sometimes. Like things go wrong. You miss your bus. Something is late and you just have to like keep your composure and work through anything that goes wrong. And that applies for so much of life. If you can just keep your composure, figure out next steps, don't rush to anything. Like, it's just, it's so great to meet different people, meet people of different cultures and backgrounds. Like, it just widens your horizon and makes you just so much more educated about everything. You know,
what have you learned about people in general across the world after traveling?
That no one is that different from each other. Like, everyone, you know, I think it's so easy to put people in boxes, or people of different colors or different origins or different religions. Like, there's so much different. We're all just people.
Yeah.
We speak different languages. We wear different clothes, but like, I don't know. I have never met someone that really like made me feel like I was way different from them, you know? And it's just so important to anytime I travel, I ask tons of questions about everything about different countries. What's your government look like? Are you happy? What is your taxes like? Like, all sorts of stuff, because I just love to see how other people do it and how I can, you know, maybe adapt things from other, you know, environmentally. I have learned so much about protecting the environment by traveling.
Really? Like what?
Yeah. Just like, you know, the way some countries do, like, as far as Copenhagen, I just saw like how much people are not driving and how I can rent or get a bike and drive, you know, bike 15 minutes away, like that I can do it and I can be safe and I can learn how to be confident and I can also like not pollute, like things like that, that you just don't learn until you see how other people do it. I don't know. I hate being home. I'm like, God, I just need to be out. I need to
go see more.
I do. Like, there's nowhere, I can't say a place that I'm like not dying to go to.
So you just want to see it all.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And whether it's, I love solo travel, I love group travel, I want to hike every mountain. Like, I all of it. I don't know. I'm an addict, but it's better than
other things. I freaking
love it. Yeah.
So what does it do for your soul? How do you feel when you're on these trips?
Oh, like, so for example, in my normal life, I'm on antidepressants, not because I'm, you know, sad, just because sometimes people need an extra boost to get the happiness that they deserve. And I feel like I don't even need them when I'm abroad. Like, I wake up, I have a schedule. I know what I want to get done. I'm so curious. Like, it's so funny that I live in a city like Austin that has so many things that are so cool that I haven't seen, but I don't feel as inspired to like get up and see things as I do when I'm somewhere else. And I've looked on Instagram. I want to see this, this, and this, and I just get it done. So it's just I'm like on a high. It's like a high for me. I don't know. It's just so good for me.
You just love learning about the culture, learning about the people, taking it all in. Like, you just are a sponge.
I'm a sponge. I've always called myself a sponge. It's funny that you said that. Yeah. I just think, like, we're not all, you know, travel is sometimes expensive. It's difficult. I totally understand. Like, for me, I could not do what I do if I didn't work for Delta. So I know what I have to do to feed my soul. And we can all find things that can make it easier to do the things that we love to do. So yeah, I get like, I can't wait to go somewhere else.
What's so up fun. Next? What's next for you?
So yeah, right now in the job that I'm working, it is harder to get time off and I'm like freaking out about it. I'm kind of like I'm tingling just waiting to go. But I have the first week of October off of work, and when I went to Patagonia and I went hiking, it was six of us, three of us girls that I have known out of Seattle, and then three gentlemen, all from different parts of the world. There was an older guy named Steve. He's 58 and he lives in Switzerland. He's British. And then there was a boy named Logan, 24 years old, lives in Santiago, Chile. And then a guy named Ben from New York. And like, we could have easily just not gotten along at all. But we just like clicked, embraced each other. We hiked 100 miles with each other. We stunk. It was amazing. And now we can't live without each other. So we're meeting up in Wyoming to do a big hike together again. So even if I can't, even if I can't get a stamp on a passport, I just gotta, the US is like chock full of redonkulous places to go to, by the way.
I love this. And I love that you've made it a priority. Go you, Olivia. Okay, thanks, so tell me about your love life, because I saw that you are ready to meet someone. You did a match.com post.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
I'm telling you, you're such a catch.
I, you know,
I would totally date you if I was single.
I would date you if you were not married. No, look, I will be the first to say that I don't help myself in dating.
Okay.
I don't really go, I don't go out much. I don't like, you know, do things where I could potentially meet someone. So that's probably my fault. But yeah, it just has not, trust me, I did not think at this stage of my life, at this age, that I would be hopelessly single, but that's how it turned out. I don't know.
I think you'll meet someone on one of your adventures.
I thought I did.
Oh.
Yeah.
No?
He'll figure it out maybe one day.
Does he know that you thought you did?
I don't think I think he'd be dumb if he didn't know, but maybe he's dumb.
I mean, should you just tell him? What do you have to lose?
Probably. But I think my problem is I have become a little prideful in dating. Like, I think the last couple experiences I've had, I felt like I put myself out there and it didn't work. And so now I'm like, screw this. Like, I'm just ready for it to come to me, which I know is not the right way to look at it. I know that. I'm the first to admit that I've become a bit of a jaded dater, but I am like, I can look at my life and say that I'm ready. You know, some people at some ages, they're like, no, I want to play the field, and that's great. But I'm like, I need companionship. So now he's got to just come, like a stork needs to drop him in front of me, I guess. I don't know.
I think that will happen for you. I really do. I really have no worry about you.
Ugh.
Like, thanks. You're such a catch, and you're so beautiful, and you're so interesting, and you're such a good person. Honestly, it's just a matter of time. And it's, timing is everything.
It really is. And I am trying. I joined a little like sporting social club here in Austin. Like, I'm trying things. I'm on the apps. It sucks, but I'm trying. I don't know. But yeah, I would love someone in my life to join me. Sometimes I'm traveling and I'm like, oh, it would be nice to share this with someone, and I'm fine without it. But you get to a point where it would be nice to have someone to, you know, watch Netflix with you or cook dinner, and it's just me and my dogs, which is great, but they don't talk to me. They don't.
Which is sometimes nice.
Hey, I love my silence. Trust me, I really do. But yeah, no, I. Hey, if it's someone from Bachelor World, I don't care who it is or what they've done. I don't care at all. I'm ready.
You are ready.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wrap all my podcasts up with Leave Your Light.
Oh.
So, leave us some inspiration. All of your journeys that you've been on, your experience of The Bachelor, what you've learned, what would you like to share with people, just about anything, really, just some good advice that maybe you've picked up along the way that you wish people knew, or something from your own life that you want to share?
I think in my life, it's been quite a journey. I've taken a lot of like turns. And I think for me, if I could hope anything for anyone else, it's just to take risks and go after the things that set you on fire, whatever it is, even if it's bowling, like join a bowling league, do it all the time. Just do it.
Just get involved. Do it.
Just get involved. Like, you know, every day that I wake up, I'm like, oh, this is such a blessing. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm going to do everything that, you know, my heart wants to do today. And I just feel like God, I've done so many things. Like, who wakes up one morning and is like, I'm going to go on The Bachelor? Like, you know, or who wakes up and says, I'm going to leave the job that I was really good at and I'm going to try a whole new thing? Like, and I've moved like 5 times in the last 3 years. Like, I've been a bit nomadic, but I'm like, no, this place, I'm not, I don't feel it. I've got to go somewhere else. Like, whatever you're feeling, take it, run with it, because I've never, ever regretted not risking something, you know, even if it didn't work out.
And I think a lot of people, it's scary to take that risk because you get comfortable. Totally. You have a job that, you know, pays the bills, that you're satisfied with. You have a house or whatever. And it's scary when you feel inside of you that it's not right and you've got to make a move, but it's scary to disrupt the comfort.
It's terribly scary. And I get messages all the time from people, you know, I want to move, but I'm scared. Like, what if I don't know anyone? Or like, I want to change jobs, but like, what if it doesn't work out? Like, but what if it does?
Right. And honestly, you know? You're going to learn something about yourself, even in those like dark, painful, really lonely, depressing moments, like we were talking about with maybe how you felt after The Bachelor or whatever. Think of all the empathy that you learned and all the things that you took from that experience that you would never have learned if you just stayed in a comfortable, great position, but like didn't push yourself. So it's not bad to have to deal with all those feelings, even though we're scared to deal with all those hard feelings. Those hard feelings really teach us the most too.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I can word that, don't visualize it as what if it doesn't work out. Visualize it as what if it does. That would be my thing for taking a risk. And then I think my other thing, because from life and from kind of being the outcast for some people, I think I've developed like some social anxiety, and this might go with moving or taking risks. Like, what if I go to a bar by myself and no one talks to me? Like, over time in my life, everyone's looking for friends. Everyone's looking for someone to hang out with. Like, yeah, I'm guilty. I let people's opinions and I get kind of in my head, but people aren't out to judge. They're really not. And everyone is looking for a friend. Everybody's looking for a shoulder. So go out, do those things, whether you're by yourself or not, or join a league, even if you don't know anyone, because you're going to make friends. If you go up, you say hello, they're going to want to talk. And that's something that I've also had to learn in my life, is you do have to put yourself out there sometimes, but it rarely doesn't work in your favor. You know what I mean? So
I love that.
That's my other thing. Yeah.
Olivia, you're so amazing.
You're so amazing.
Let's keep our talking once a year thing up at least. Okay.
Why do we do this?
Well, I mean, you know, because you lived in Nashville for a hot second, and we met when you lived in Nashville.
I did. I loved it there. I'm going to come back ASAP because, you know, Brandy's back in Nashville and I want to be there. I want to squeeze your little tyke.
Yes.
Have you revealed the sex?
It's a girl.
No. But to the world, you've revealed everything. Okay. I didn't want to say her.
By the time this airs, she will probably be here.
That is true. Oh my gosh. How do you feel? Like,
big, large, and in charge. Like, I have had such a good pregnancy. This whole pregnancy has been great. The first trimester I had morning sickness and nausea and all that.
Okay.
But then it's been great. Just here at the end, I've turned into a penguin. I just waddle everywhere.
Have you had any cravings at all?
You know, for me, I'm like, I think the craving thing for me in particular, because I know a lot of pregnant women crave like pickle juice with peanut butter and weird stuff.
Yeah.
I have just let myself have whatever I think I want. So I'm like, just kind of living the dream over here. But I'm trying.
Do you miss wine?
I never was like a huge drinker anyway, but here at the end, I've let myself have a few sips of wine because
you should.
Yeah. But I don't miss like chugging a bottle, but I think honestly, I will probably be excited to chug a bottle once I can, because
why not?
Yeah. It's just been the forbidden fruit for so long, you know?
It's so funny that you say that you've had a great pregnancy, because obviously I want children one day, and I ask anyone who's pregnant or been pregnant, like, what was it like? And everyone says being pregnant was like the best thing ever.
It's such an, it's such a blessing, and it's such a miracle. Yeah. And being in this phase and just knowing how hard it is to get pregnant sometimes. And, you know, we didn't get pregnant right away and had some right. issues and struggles. And I think that I just have such an appreciation that I have been given the privilege and gift to carry a child, that it's so cool.
You make me like weep a little bit. I'm kind of jealous.
It is. It's like, it's been so amazing, and it's crazy to watch your body change and all these things happen. And sometimes, like, I've had a few anxiety attacks, just, you know, because like so much is happening within your body. But on,
well, and your life is about to change so much.
Yes. But on the whole, it is just truly a miracle. Like, it's like, yeah. I have witnessed within myself a miracle happen. And I think that it's just sort of like, it's yeah. just so inspiring, because it's like, how did this little nothing, it's like God grow. Just shot a baby into me, you know, because it's like you're
just
trying,
shot it in there.
you try your whole life not to get pregnant, but then when you want to get pregnant, it has to happen. It's so much yeah. bigger than us, and it's just been an wow. amazing experience. So I've been very,
have you picked a name?
We haven't announced it yet, even though I could probably oh, okay. talk about it now, because this will have already aired and she'll be born.
Okay.
But
well, maybe not.
I still
maybe
won't not. Because who knows? Maybe well, I'll
tell me after we hang up. I'll and tell I you. Won't tell anyone, I swear.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see.
I know when God. You come to Nashville, you have to hit me up and come over and see her.
Oh, I'm babysitting. I will fly to Nashville whenever y'all need a date night.
That is really, that's a good friend right
For
there.
For free, I will, just to hug a little baby.
Okay, don't offer things you don't mean, Olivia.
I mean them. Just on Tuesday, Wednesday, because those are my days off work. Okay, great.
Okay, perfect. Love it.
Perfect. Great.
Well, thank you my so much for coming on hi. My podcast.
Of course. I can't believe it took us a year to do the other way around.
Hey, it's okay. It's perfect timing.
And that, guys, it took us at least 35 minutes before this to figure out how to record. So I hope it works. I hope it works
because I feel like this was such a great interview. I will be really bummed if it did not record, but I think we got it. I feel good.
I did
about
press
it.
Play. So I've done that before where, didn't I do that with you where I didn't press play?
I don't know. Do we have to do it again?
No, I pressed play. I'll never make that mistake again.
Did we have to do ours again?
I feel like we did one time. Maybe
we might
not.
Have. Been... Oh, we might have. You know what? Good news is with me is technology is not my thing. So I'm fine.
You were the best person to mess up for, because you were like, it's fine. We'll do it again. And no big deal. And I was like, oh, thank God.
I've had to do that where I've had to
forgive
like
me.
Do it again with someone. And I'm like, oh, I feel so bad about this, but sorry.
I'm just so proud. Like your podcast has just grown so much. And now at your guests, I'm like, oh my God. Wow. Girl, bye. Jealous.
Hey, thanks. I'm just happy that you're my guest.
Yes. Yay. Adore you.
Okay, oh adore God. You too. And my sister lives in Austin, so I'll hit you up when I'm in Austin. I go to Austin gosh, all yes. the time.
I didn't know that.
Austin, I love Austin.
Oh, please come over, do all the things with yeah. me, and we'll have all the queso and
oh gosh. Margs. Do you go to Matt's El Rancho?
Oh yeah, all the time.
And get the Bob.
Oh,
the cheese.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
the Bob with the queso and the cheese and the guacamole. Oh. It's the greatest thing on this earth.
Whoever didn't put guac in their queso before this, like, do it. It's
and ground
nice
beef.
Cold bite with like some yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh my God, you're making me salivate.
Sorry.
Okay, love
okay,
your
hang
face.
Up on me so you can tell me the name.
Okay, if
babe.
I hang up on you on this and we disconnect, I'll call you.
Oh yeah, wait, I forgot about that. Okay,
I think
we'll
I'm gonna stop
me.
recording. We'll see how it goes. I think it's gonna be
okay
great.
Who knows. Love
okay.
your face.
Okay, love you too. Bye.
Bye, honey.